Welcome to the radio broadcast of Mount Calvary Baptist Church. Your Bible teacher today is Pastor Jesse Wagoner.
If you want to be growing and be moving forward, get alone with God. Get alone with God. If you go down to verse 10, and I'm not going to take this story in all the in this chronology that goes through it, and I'm not really trying to make a dramatic telling of the story of Daniel in the lion's den, but I want to extract from this text of Scripture something that is the key to this man being the man that he was. It is key to him being successful and being victorious and being vindicated in spite of the opposition that was brought to bear in his life. Look in verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, and we'll go back over that in just a bit, he went home and in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. It was the regular routine of Daniel for most of all of his days that he would have the discipline of getting alone from God, getting alone with God, being just having a time in his presence and a time in prayer. And for Daniel, it might have been almost his exclusive opportunity to worship God. While they were in the land of Israel, there were opportunities to go to the temple. There were opportunities to meet with other believers in their villages and in synagogues. But he is now a hostage, as it were, living in a foreign land. The Jerusalem temple has been destroyed. The people have been scattered. More than likely, he did not have opportunity to meet regularly with other believers in the one true God. This might have been all he had the opportunity to do. You and I are blessed that we can meet together on this Lord's Day to study God's Word together and to worship and to fellowship. But regularly he got alone with God. It was the key, I am convinced, to all the story unfolding as it does. And friends, it is the key that we want to look at this morning, the step we need to take. I think if, with even a casual observance, people who are making progress in their spiritual lives, people who are growing in Christ, people who are changing, becoming what God wants us to be, they are people who fellowship regularly. They go to church. And they are also people who in their personal lives get alone with God. Well, first of all, I want to tell you from this story why you should get alone with God. Number one, why you should get alone with God. Why we should do this. What are the motivators you see from this story? Go back to verse 1 and we'll pick up the very beginning of the story. It says, "Please Darius," now he's king of the Medo-Persian Empire, which came immediately after the Babylonian Empire, which is the people that brought Daniel and other Jewish exiles there, but he's the king. It says, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom." A satrap, we'd just say that's a bureaucrat in today's world. That's just a middle-level manager in the administration of the government, okay? And their official title was satraps. I just kind of like saying that word every once in a while. It's just a fun word to say. But that was an official title with all the according pomp and circumstance that accompanied it. Verse 2, "And over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them so that the king would suffer no loss." So you have the king, the sovereign ruler over the empire. You have three members of his cabinet, maybe be comparable to a vice president or secretary of state or prime minister, I don't know. But then under them, these 120 other administrators that were serving in the administration. Verse 3. "Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm." The king is contemplating giving Daniel an extreme promotion. That might seem like a wonderful part in the story, but even though this takes place some 2,500 years ago, those 25 centuries that come and gone from this story, you well know that politics is still played. The game is still played. And it is played when someone else is getting a promotion. Someone else probably isn't liking it. So you might be office politics in our world. It might be politics in our world. It might be in our communities. It might be in our family. But there is this lust for power that is part of the fallen nature that we don't want him to be in charge. We're going to knock him off the top post so one of us can be in the top post. So it's a colossal and almost deadly game of King of the Hill. It says, so the governors and the satraps, verse 4, sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom. If we can find some fault in him, if we can find some flaw in him, if we can find some skeleton in his closet, if we can unearth some scandal from his past, we can reveal that and suddenly the promotion will not go through and we can be rid of this man. But here's what they say, end of verse 4. It says they sought to do this, but they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. Stop there for just a moment. Why do we need to be people who spend time alone with God, who get alone with God? Why should you get alone with God? First of all, it will make you a person of integrity. To make you a person of integrity. You see that right in the text. I mean, you think about what verse 4 says. Could find no charge or fault. He was faithful. There was not any error or fault found in him. You put the microscope on the life of Daniel and you could not find anything amiss. He was a man of integrity. That's the kind of people that God's people should always be. We should be people who operate within the moral parameters of God's word. That we should do what God tells us to do and we should avoid what God tells us not to do, clearly defined in the pages of Scripture. How do you have that empowerment? How do you arrive at that point? It all starts back to what we talked about just a moment ago in verse 10, and we will arrive back there again. But here was a man that every day of his life got alone with God. It made him a man of integrity. Now, I told you I'm not going in strict story order, so I know some of you this is really going to bother, but I'm going to do it anyway. I want you to go all the way down to verse 23. This is now after the lion's den, okay? This is after he's escaped and God has spared him. But I want to, like I told you, I'm trying to extract these principles to see it very, very clearly. Number two, why should you get along with God? To make you a person of integrity, number one. But secondly, to make you a person blessed by God. Most of us want to be people who are blessed by God. If God's in the business of handing out blessings, we want to get in line and receive some. Well, this was a person who was blessed of God for a very particular reason. Verse 23, now this is after he's been removed from the lion's den. He's unharmed. God has protected him. And the king is now responding because the king was maneuvered into this. And we'll look at that again in just a moment. It says, then the king was exceedingly glad, verse 23, for him, and commanded they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken out of the den, and no injury whatsoever was found on him. Last phrase, here's the key. Because he believed in his God. He was blessed by God. Because he was a man that regularly trafficked in the promises of God, that regularly contemplated the Word of God, regularly prayed to the Lord of heaven and earth. This was a man. Why did he believe God? Because he just had that kind of a walk with God. And when it's all said and done, why was he delivered? It says no injury whatsoever was found in him. Why? Because he believed in God. The Bible declares that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Yes, we do that in the large setting. That's part of it. Go to church. But we need to feast on God's Word and spend time alone with Him daily. Get alone with God so that we can feast on the Word of God and we'll be people who believe in the Lord. Now, let me just, since we're already here, I want you to look down in verse 25. Here's the third one. Then King Darius wrote. Now, this is after it's all said and done. And by the way, I skipped verse 24, but It's the nasty verse. All the people that charged and were part of this plot, they got thrown in the lion's den, and the lions destroyed them very quickly. So this was not some sort of a group of tame lions. In other words, that's proven. Verse 25, then King Darius wrote, to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. He sends this throughout the entire empire, which was covered the known civilized world as they knew it in their day. Verse 26, I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. Now think of this for just a moment. This was a man who was over the Medo-Persian Empire. They did not worship. They did not give any allegiance to God. In fact, they followed the kingdom that conquered the people of Israel. But because of this event, King is at least recognizing that the God of Daniel, whom we know as the only true God, was the one who pulled this off. And he says, I command that everybody tremble before this God. For he, middle 26, for he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and his works, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. Who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. Number three, why should you get alone with God? To make you a person of integrity. Secondly, to make you a person that God blesses. And thirdly, to make you a person of influence beyond yourself. Because of David's faithfulness, he prays to God, gets thrown in the lion's den for it. God delivers him, and then the king spreads it far and wide. This testimony about God. So everyone throughout the kingdom, whether they come to believe in this God or not, at least they were confronted with the reality and the statement and words of praise and truthful words about who God was. God was giving them a testimony. This is how you can have influence as well. If you're going to have spiritual influence on your family, spiritual influence on your people you know, if we're going to have spiritual influence in this community, mark it well. These four steps have to be part of our regular discipline. We need to go to church. We need to be together, but we also need to get alone with God in our private and personal time. There is no substitute for it. Now, if you'll go back to the beginning of the story one more time, I want to lead you up to verse 10 now, just so you see how we got there, and then we're going to look at verse 10 again in some detail. So, verse 6 is where we left off. Now, remember they said, Verse 5, then these men said, we shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. The one place they thought they could trap him, and indeed they were correct, was if we can force him into doing something that is for his God, but we can now make it illegal, he is going to choose God over man, and we can trap him. So here's their plan. Verse 6, so these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said to him, King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom and administrators and satraps and counselors and advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree, here it is, that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. So this is all plotted together. They come, and you talk about an appeal to his pride. Just sign this decree. For 30 days, no one can pray to any god, do any worship. All of it has to come to you, O king. You're so wonderful. Well, they didn't think the king was wonderful. They just knew Daniel would not go along. It's not clear to me, and I've kind of gone back and forth in my thinking on this, of whether Daniel was part of the group. My original thought was maybe he was left out. But it does say in verse 7, all the governors of the kingdom and administrators and satraps. So maybe Daniel was there. If he was there, he certainly doesn't raise his hand and say, I object. Because the next thing you see is verse 10. It says he went home and he did what he always did. So maybe he was there. Maybe he wasn't invited to the party. But whatever the case was, the king made a very serious mistake because he didn't bring his three top guys in, and particularly the one that he viewed as most valuable in his advice, and he didn't ask Daniel about it. He just simply goes along. Verse 8, now, O king, establish a decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter. Now, part of what is going on behind the scenes there, this king of the Medo-Persian Empire was probably not viewed as a deity or a god, but he was pretty high on the ladder, so to speak. He had some godlike qualities about him from their point of view. So it was assumed that if the king, under the influence of the gods, if he made a decree, it was infallible. And to say that we all believe the king is infallible in his rulings, whatever he writes cannot be changed. There is no reversal. He can't rescind it. It can't be appealed to a court or to the Supreme Court. Whatever he wrote, once he signed it, he himself could not change it, because the assumption was whatever he did was infallible. So they're working this all together. Verse 9, therefore King Darius signed the written decree. Now the law now said cannot be changed, but for 30 days you can't pray to any god, you can't worship any god. The only person that you could address of any sort of religious activity has to be to the king of the empire, no one else. And they spelled out specifically what the punishment was. If you did, then a lion's for you. Verse 10, we finally arrived back where we started. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And what's he do? And in his upper room with the windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. Now it wasn't just because I'm in trouble and I'm going to really pray today. Notice the last phrase, as was his custom since early days. This was his regular routine, and Daniel said, I'm not going to change my routine, come what may, even if it means a night with the lions. What a man he was. We talked about why you should get alone with God. What should you do to get alone with God? And you see that in verse 10. There's actually two parts of it, and this is not going to come as any surprise to any of us. You would expect that I would say, and I am about to say, if you want to spend time with God in your own life daily, you need to spend some time in God's Word and some time in prayer. But where do you see time in God's Word in verse 10? You see prayer, but where is the first part of it? And the first one is this. What you should do to get along with God, you should study God's Word. So just throw the word study into the thinking. We need to study. I mean, why does it not say that Daniel went home and got his study Bible off the shelf and opened it up and he spent time reading God's Word and studying it and learning it, and then he spent time praying? Well, exactly because he didn't have a study Bible to go and pull off the shelf and open up and read. Copies of the Scripture were fairly rare, preserved by God and kept, but you just didn't have, people didn't have Bibles. People didn't have scrolls individually. There's a little hint there in the middle of the verse. It says, and in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees. All that he had available from the Word of God would have been, on a daily basis anyway, would have been the Word of God that he had committed to memory and had learned as a child prior to the Babylonian captivity, which he's still feeling the ramifications of. The fact that he bows down, opens his windows, and faces Jerusalem is significant. Because part of what he's doing, he's giving recognition that he's facing the center of God's activity, the center of God's promise and the center of God's faithfulness. But if you look around, there was no evidence anywhere that he could see with his human eyes that would say God is going to restore Israel back to that land and set up Jerusalem and restore the temple and all the rest. In fact, history would tell us, things like that do not happen. But as he looked back and as he remembered the Scriptures, as he contemplates on them, and part of this act of looking to Jerusalem, you know what he's saying? Lord, I take you at your word that you're not done with Jerusalem. And I take you at your word that you're not done with Israel. That the promises to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob still stand firm. That the covenant you made with Moses still stands firm. And the promise that you made through the prophets that predicted this captivity also predicted that the day would come when we would return to that land and our nation would be restored. When he faces Jerusalem, he is fully connecting with the revealed truth of God's Word, even if he doesn't have a Bible in front of him. He didn't have a Bible in front of him, but you do. You have access to it. Most of us have multiple Bibles, or we can get it through our electronic devices. It's not that difficult to do. What do you do to get alone with God? First of all, you have to spend some time being in this book and reading God's truth and studying it. I don't have time this morning to give you a detailed list of how this works and so forth. If you're on our email newsletter list, I'm going to send out some extra resources tomorrow because I couldn't fit them in the bulletin, so you'll have some things coming your way. But I do want to give you one little help, and it's on the back of your outline sheet. If you're using it, it's right there. If not, you can pull it out. I was introduced to this a few months ago, and I've been using it fairly regularly, and I've enjoyed it. It's just a simple way to remind myself when I get alone with God what needs to be included. And if you would like more of these, there's a little website down at the bottom. You can go there. Now, this is primarily a men's Bible study, so if you go to the website, it's all about men's discipleship and Bible study. But there's some good helps there. And if you'd like extra copies, there's some back there on the table that you can pick up. And maybe you've got something that already works for you, but this is just a suggestion. It's ABC. A, you ask questions. Read the Bible and ask questions. There's a list of questions in that little box on the left. Is there a command to obey, a promise to claim, a sin to avoid, an application to make, something new about God? Ask who, what, when, where, and why. Ask those questions as you read to meditate on God's Word. Secondly, emphasize different words. And that means as you read, you know, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Just to emphasize different words to kind of stress the meaning of them. Or if you like, you can rewrite the concepts in your own words to make your own summary. B is best verse and thought for the day. Write the verse in your thoughts. If you read a 10 verse passage, find the one verse that really speaks to you and write out what you've gathered that's going to help you today. And then C is communicate with God. Worship Him, admit sin, make my requests. And just a simple... So if I know I'm talking to some of you that... Your life of spending time alone with God is part of your routine and has been part of your routine for years. There are some of you, because I've heard your testimony, that you give yourself to the Word of God and you resolve to do that. There's a person here in the church that probably would not like me to tell you their name, but goes to work very early. This person gets up every day at 3:30 in the morning so that they can spend time with God before they go off to work in the morning. For most of us, we don't even know there are 2 3:30s in every day. You know, we don't ever see the second one. But so some of you, I know you have worked on this, and you, it's part of your, so just keep it up. And if you got a system that works, some of you use the daily bread, some of you use other devotional materials. But the important thing is this: if you do not have this as part of your routine, just start. Or perhaps you've started and stopped and you've had trouble with consistency. Now's the time to start and gain some consistency. If you want to be moving forward, go to church. Secondly, get alone with God. And as you've already figured out, 3 and 4 will be the next 2 weeks. So study God's Word. Secondly, to pray. And that's part of that sheet you saw on the back. But second point is to pray. Look at what he says here in the text. He fell on his knees 3 times a day. And prayed and gave thanks. And then again in verse 11. So these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. You see an example of prayer. Prayer is just communing with God, giving thanks as part of our praise and our worship, and then making supplication, as it's mentioned in verse 11, is asking God for what we need to be people of prayer. Yes, we gather to do that in large group, but we need to do this as part of our regular spiritual discipline to get alone with God, either individually or to get together with your husband or wife or your children or your parents, family grouping, but to do this regularly as part of your spiritual discipline. Lastly, when should you get alone with God? Well, it's right there in the text of verse 10. He did it daily. When should you do it? Daily. We need to feed on God's Word, and we need to pray daily. Someone has said, and I saw this actually, it was on a church sign. And sometimes you see things on church signs that are very entertaining and pointed, and sometimes they just are kind of dumb. But this one was, it said, 7 days without prayer makes 1 week, W-E-A-K. You want to be weak? Just check in with God once a week, and you'll be weak. So, when should you do it? Daily. We see that right there in the text. Secondly, and this is the context we get into, when should you get alone with God? When it is hard to do. When it is hard. It's about to get really hard for Daniel. Verse 12. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast in the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter. They've got every... Oh, they've won. Verse 13. And they answered and said before the king, that Daniel, who's one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day. King, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. He knew he had been trapped. He had been trapped by being maneuvered into this. He didn't want to destroy Daniel. And he says he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. But they kept going back to this. The law cannot be reversed. Verse 16. So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. I wonder how much confidence the king had when he said those words. I think he hoped they were true. He's about to find out they indeed were true, but I wonder how much he really believed it. Verse 17, then the stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. And the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him. Also his sleep went from him. Verse 19. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? And with relief, he hears a voice coming from the other side of the stone. Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever, which is what you had to say to kings in those days. My God sent his angel to shut the lion's mouth so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Then the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. Then we're back to the verse we read earlier about it was because he believed God. None of us face the hardship of getting alone with God daily. We don't face the hardship of being thrown into a den full of hungry lions. In fact, the hardship we face is just our own challenges of our own flesh. What challenges us to keep the discipline of being alone with God daily? Well, sometimes it's the pressure of time. Well, I just don't have time. I got stuff to do. I've got to get going. Well, God gives us each the same amount of time and gives us the right to manage our time. And if we don't have time to get alone with God, there's something wrong with our management. It's our fault. Sometimes it's just laziness, just raw laziness. We just don't feel like it. We don't do it. Sometimes it could be guilt. You know, if I get into God's Word, maybe I'll find something that's I feel guilty about. It needs to change and expose some flaw of mine. And if I just ignore it, it'll all go away. Well, it's not going to go away. And in fact, if it's something that causes guilt in your life, it's something that does need to go away with the power of God. Sometimes it's just the practice and the skill of doing. I don't really know how to do it. I don't feel comfortable. Where do I begin? Just begin. I would love if all of us would make a commitment that before this day's out, maybe many of you already have, but before this day's out, I'm going to get alone with God and spend some time in His Word and spend some time praying with Him. And I'm going to make a commitment to do that tomorrow. And I want to make that commitment that I go on. If you want to be growing and thriving in Christ, it has to be part of your experience. For some of us, we need the accountability of someone else to hold us accountable. Maybe we need to find somebody that could check us up. Hey, would you ask me next week how I'm doing in this? And sometimes just that discipline of someone asking the right question can force you to do the right thing. For us as God's people, I simply leave you with one question. Getting off a go, you need to get alone with God. Will you get alone with God? If you will, here's the great news. He is waiting. He is waiting.
You've been listening to the radio broadcast of Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston. Mount Calvary Baptist Church is located at 1509 Bigley Avenue in Charleston, West Virginia. Worship services are at 9 a.m., 11, and 6 p.m. For more information, contact calvarywv.com.